Welcome. I'm Jamie, the pastor of Anchor Bible Church in Lincoln City. This is part two of Satan's Sinfulness, part two. We're going to look up the remainder of the verses here, and we're going to actually start back with Isaiah 14, verse 7, Isaiah 14, 17, 17. It just says that Satan is the one that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners, didn't open the prison doors. And so in the big house, the really big house, that he's had prisoners that were captive unto him, that were subject to death, and that were sinners. And so that he opened not the house, he kept people sinners. He didn't want to let people free. He didn't want to let people to go. But yet we see that that the Lord does. So our next verse is over in Isaiah 61, 1. Isaiah 61, verse 1 says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me." We see this is a reference to the Messiah, Jesus Christ. "Because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." Where Satan didn't open the doors of the prison, here Christ is proclaiming liberty to those who are captive and opening of the prison to them that are. He opens the prison doors. He sets people free. He gives them new life in himself, Jesus Christ, where Satan would not. So Jesus is the one that sets captives free. So this is out of the great book of Isaiah. So we're going to go over and see where the Lord quotes this in Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. And this is a pretty incredible passage and a verse. In fact, we're going to go back to verse 17. Christ is in his earthly ministry, and he comes into a synagogue. And it says, "And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah," or Isaiah. "And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written." So he goes and through the scroll, and he finds the place that we were just reading in Isaiah. And he quotes, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." This is on Jesus Christ. "Because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering the sight of the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book and he gave it to the minister and sat down, and all the eyes of them that were in a synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears." All those years ago, those centuries ago that Isaiah had written those words, it was about the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan kept people lost. He kept them locked up in the prison of sin. But Jesus Christ paid the penalty of sin. So by his gospel, by his good news, the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ, he's the one, those trusting in him, in his shed blood on the cross, he sets the captives free. He gives them forgiveness of sin. He cleanses them. He opens the prison doors. Jesus Christ does that. And so praise the Lord for that. Also, we're going to look at Revelation 20, verses 2, 7, and 8. Revelation 20, 2, 7, and 8. And so here we're going to see about what happens during the millennial kingdom, the thousand-year kingdom on earth. And chapter 20, verse 2 says, "And he laid," this is Michael the archangel, it looks like, "and he laid hold on the dragon." Well, who is that dragon? That old serpent. Well, we read about him in Genesis. He's the serpent that tricked up Eve in the Garden of Eden. And that she gave the forbidden fruit to her husband. And so now we're all sinners because of that day, which is the devil. That's who it was there. And Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. So 1,000 years, Satan gets bound up. When Christ comes back, he's going to lock up Satan for 1,000 years, which means he's not locked up right now. And so 1,000 years, he's going to lock up Satan. And then we're going to go down to 7 and 8, seeing that Satan is the catalyst, the one stirring up war on the earth, catalyst to war on the earth. So verse 7 says, "And when this 1,000 years are expired," 1,000 years is up, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and there shall and shall go out to deceive the nations. There he is again, weakening the nations, deceiving, deceptive, which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. So a battle, going to war against Christ and against his people at the end of the millennial kingdom prior to making a new heaven and a new earth. And so that's what's happened. So we know from James 4:1 that wars come from within us, our old sin nature. Mankind wants to fight one another, envy one another, murder one another, and to go to war against one another. But here it says that, and notice during the millennial kingdom, there is no war. There is no war with Christ present on earth. But as soon as he lets Satan loose, he was able to get into the hearts of some, and there was war on earth. And we can look at this a little further once we get into the book of Revelation and look at the meanings of those things. But we see that Satan is the one to stir up war. He tempted the Son of God. That's in Luke chapter 4, 1 through 13. We're not going to go there right now. It's a longer passage, but we see that Satan is the one that tempted our Lord when he was upon this earth. If you are the Son of God, he would say. So trying to cause Jesus to doubt who he is and also to worship Satan. And of course, Jesus did not do that. And Satan left him for a time. Let's go to the next one. He prompted Judas Iscariot to betray the Lord. So we'll look in John 13, 2, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John chapter 13, verse 2. And we know that the betrayer is Judas Iscariot, and he's the one that has betrayed the Lord. And at the Passover meal, it says, verse 2, and supper being ended, the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, to betray the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the beginning of the events that led up to the cross of Calvary. So the devil putting that to Judas's heart, and then he went and betrayed him, and then he was able to be taken captive, and then to go before Pilate, and then go to the cross of Calvary for you and for me. So the devil's the one that did that with Judas Iscariot, and so Judas was open to that and went to that. The next one, we see that he blinds the minds of those who are lost. He blinds the minds of those who are lost. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4. So we'll turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And because remember, Satan goes against the Lord, and he doesn't want people to be saved. He doesn't want people to be saved. So 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4, here it says, in whom the god of this world, that's the devil, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. See, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. But if you believe not, then he's going to come in and blind those minds that believe not. Lest or else the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So the gospel would shine unto them so that they can believe that and be saved. So there's the god of this world is doing that. Actually, I forgot to do verse 3. I skipped over that. It says, but if our gospel, that's the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. And so all it takes is admitting that you're a sinner and then trusting in the gospel of Jesus Christ, calling upon him, thou shalt be saved. So he doesn't want people to be saved. And so he gets in and blinds those minds. Luke 8:12 also has something similar where he snatches the gospel from certain people. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Matthew, Mark, Luke 8:12. Matthew 8:12 says for us, let's look at 11 and 12. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. So we're talking about a sower sowing seed. The seed, the word of God. And we would see that it would be the gospel that saves someone. So someone's going out sharing the gospel on these different soils. Well, one of them goes by the wayside. Verse 12, those by the wayside, the people that are on the wayside or the path, or the walkway, are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. See, so they're not wanting to believe. And so if they don't believe the gospel and get saved, the devil comes and snatches it from them, takes it out of their hearts. And so that's what the devil's doing. So, it's the best thing is that we could believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and to be saved, or else the devil will come in and will snatch the gospel, snatch the word of God that we've heard. He will do that, snatch the word of God out of people's hearts. So he attempts to trick and snare the saints. He wants to trick us and snare us in a trap, like being in a trap. And so here we see this is Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. I'll do 10 and 11. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So the devil is tricking, wiles, or trick, deception, ensnare, beguile, entrap. So the wiles, the tricks of the devil. And so we're supposed to put on the armor of God so that we can stand and so that we won't get tricked and deceived. So he's trying to trick those and to snare the saints, the believers. This is talking about believers in Christ. 2 Timothy 2:26 has something to say about this as well. 2 Timothy 2:26, which gives us some warnings about what's happening as far as what the devil is doing towards us. 2 Timothy 2:26, it says, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Like a mouse trap, a mouse comes in, it gets the cheese, and a snap, it comes down, and he gets caught, and then he dies because he can't get out. He dies there. So it's a trap. It's a snare. Oh, that cheese looks so good. I want a bite. In the Garden of Eden, oh, the apple looks so good. Make me wise and make me like God. And well, I just want one bite. Well, that's all it took is disobedience. And so a snare, a trap, the devil knows. And so we have to be careful and stay in the word of God, alert in prayer, and meet with other believers and be obedient to the Lord so that we can walk in power and victory and rest in the Lord's power for us. He had power of the death, of death. He had power of death, as Hebrews 2:14. So we'll turn over to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. And talking about one time because he tempted Adam, or tempted Eve. Adam did eat also. And so he had power of the death, of death. Verse 14 says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, we're in a human body, he also, Christ also took him, also likewise, himself likewise took part of the same. He became a human, God manifest in the flesh, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. So by the devil tricking mankind, and the result of that was death, and so now everyone dies, how do you get out of that? Well, Jesus came in the form of a human, the form of a man, and by death, he conquered power of the death, of death. And then Christ rose from the grave to give us justification. So through death, Christ got victory, gained victory over death. The cross reference, Revelation 1:18, just talks about Christ having the keys of hell and death. So if someone's going to die, Christ has to unlock that door. So Christ is in charge of life and of death, if you will, So he had Satan had power of the of death. Satan is in control of death and life now. The next one is he is the believer's adversary and seeks to destroy him. He is seeking to destroy the believer. So again, Satan means adversary, and he is the believer's, the Christian's adversary. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, which says, be sober, wake up, be vigilant, watch out, be alert, watch. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, your adversary, not just God's, but your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, like as a powerful roaring lion walking around, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. So he goes after the weak ones of the flock, if you will. So just like a pack of coyotes or other animals are going after some deer or some dogs or something, going after a flock of sheep, well, these wild dogs, they'll finally work and get the weak one, the one who can't keep up with the flock, the one who is maybe not eating, one who's not in the herd protection. So for Christians today, it means stay alert in prayer, be watchful, meet with other believers, stay in the herd, if you will, and then also you need to stay protected with one another and to stay fed in the Word of God and be strong and have that nutrition. So he's the believer's adversary and seeks to destroy the believer. And our last one we're looking at is that he will be tormented forever because of a sin. We're actually going to look at the Matthew 25:41 verse now. Matthew 25:41. And so the Lord tells us a little bit here. He said, then shall he say unto them on the left, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Well, it looks like originally there was no everlasting fire. There was no lake of fire. There was no hell, because God created Lucifer good. Bright and shining, glorious, holy, reflecting God's holiness. But yet he sinned. And so once he sinned and he took a third of the angels, then God created a punishment for that sin, everlasting fire. So it's prepared, it's ready for the devil and his angels. And then we also understand that those men and women apart from Christ who refuse and reject and repudiate Jesus Christ for salvation, they will be also in hell and the lake of fire forever. But here we're looking at Satan and his sinfulness, not necessarily strictly at man and his sinfulness at this point, although it certainly does have some application to us. But our last verse here is Revelation 20:10, and here it says, and the devil, we know that's the Satan that we're looking at today, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. So this is where Satan, the devil, is going to end up by the word of God and by God's power. He'll be cast into the lake of fire. We've seen before, an everlasting fire. And here it says he'll be tormented day and night forever and ever. And so that is the punishment and the result, and in a sense, in Satan's career from sinning against God, repudiating God, taking a third of the angels with him down into hell, into the lake of fire, and then taking sinners who refuse to accept Jesus Christ as Savior and to get that freedom and be set free and washing and cleansing from sin. They too will be cast into the lake of fire forever, which if you just keep reading in this chapter, we see that verse 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So what about you, dear friend? Are you a believer in Jesus Christ, or are you someone who's rejected Christ and is bound for the lake of fire, where you can be forgiven and freed from your sin today by trusting in Christ as Savior. Thanks for listening. Give us a contact if we can be any help.